What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Yala.
Ba, 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 ba.
Your thrice weekly podcast where we talk about the hottest news with a touch of what, Terrence?
Good old humor.
Good old humor, man.
Yeah.
What's up with the week, man?
It's all right.
It's like all right. Like,
yeah.
It's an all right week. Like.
Yeah, all right week. No gangbusters news out there in Singapore,
so.
At least. Yeah. Ever since Taylor Swift left.
Yeah, there's like really a vacuum. I mean, shit's still happening, but I guess, I mean, like someone pointed out on Reddit also that next week Rod Stewart is coming to Singapore.
Oh, apparently, right? Yeah. Rod Stewart, yeah.
But who cares?
Yeah. Who cares? That's the big question. Who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah.
I didn't even know.
Only the legend, Rod Stewart.
Rod Stewart. I mean, I didn't even know he was still singing.
Yeah. I didn't even know he was still touring.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I would have imagined he's like super old already.
Because how old is Rod Stewart? Let's see.
Wow.
He is 79. No?
79, jeez.
79.
Okay. I mean, in some sense, there's like active aging that we have to celebrate, right? And maybe that sets a good example for the rest of Singapore to follow.
I mean, his concert is called Live in Singapore One Last Time.
Oh, wow. That's a
bit dramatic.
Rough one.
A bit dramatic.
Yeah.
Oh, he has sold more than 250 million albums and singles worldwide. Holy shit, man.
Yeah. But I mean, besides him, I mean, like, there's Bruno Mars coming and what else?
I don't know. I think now there's talk of like who we should bring next. Now we're getting invites from, you know, even the Commonwealth Games to potentially bid and for Indonesia, hosting it.
Indonesia also wants to work together, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
See, we brought all Southeast Asia together.
No, Malaysia still hates us.
Yeah, actually, that's related to stuff we're going to talk about later.
Yeah. No, that's why Indonesia probably looking, okay, Malaysia is shitting on Singapore so much. Why don't we take a different approach?
Yeah.
Let's become friends with Singapore.
Friends with them.
Singapore's like the cool bunch, you know, the cool bunch in school who just had this big party.
Yeah.
And now other people want to join in.
It's kind of strange to be the,
it is,
the
man.
Bell at the ball, so to speak.
Yeah. Tiny bell at the big ball.
Yeah, all the discussions now about, what are we going to change the whole sports hub area into? You know, like the indoor stadium
and
making
all.
Way for a new stadium. Like, wow. Making big plans.
And then Singapore is holding the World Aquatics Championships next year.
Swimming.
I think the first country in Asia to do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. World Aquatics in 2025.
Oh, pretty impressive.
Yeah, impressive, man.
Can't say that MCCY and Erwin Tong not doing what they need to do, right?
Yeah, Edwin Tong is just rocking out. World Aquatic Championships.
Yeah.
Will be held in Singapore. Previously held in Russia, and I don't know whether Singapore is held, but it's all going to be all over the place. Even MBS.
MBS as well.
Apparently. There is open water swimming. Oh, open water swimming. It's in the bay.
In the bay.
Oh.
But swimming in our bay is not exactly the most...
Open water,
safe. No, not safe, but kind of gross, yeah. You always, you come out feeling a layer of grime on your body after you swim in the waters in Singapore.
But that's what we spoke to Clarence about, right? And he did say it might be some of the oil, right?
Probably is,
But so interesting times for Singapore.
Yeah.
It's like we finally reached puberty and people want to hang out with us.
Yeah. And now we get to choose who we want to hang out with.
It's like She's All That, the movie, For people listening who have no idea what the movie is, it's quite a classic from our time, I guess.
98 or something.
Yeah, it's like a modern-day Cinderella, almost.
Yeah. Freddie Prinze Jr.
And Rachel Welch.
Is it? I can't remember that.
So you only remember the male actor, Terrence?
Yeah, I only remember the male actor.
Shala.
I don't have the male gaze. I'm not just looking at women only. That's all. Right.
Rachel Leigh Cook. Oh my god. I got the first name correct.
Classic.
Yeah. But. So I mean, despite Singapore having a quiet week, shit has been brewing overseas, man.
Yeah. In fact, this week I think a lot of the topics that we talk about are about overseas things happening overseas also.
But before we jump into that, what is our regular plug?
If you're new to this podcast, please, it will help a lot if you subscribe, follow, share, tell one person about it, because that's the way to really get the word out there about podcasts. They're not like typical, videos or stuff that go viral, right? Unless we're like, you know, talking about ex-partners or you know, scandals and stuff like that. La.
Or
that
brands shit, with bad rap. La.
Yeah, yeah. That shit goes viral. La, yeah. Right? But for a regular podcast, because we talk about current affairs, so yeah, we need your help to get the word out about the podcast.
Yeah. And I mean, we haven't asked for a long time, but if you haven't rated us on Spotify, just go on, rate us. I think we're at 1,100 ratings now, average 4.8.
Yeah.
So give us a shout out on Apple as well. And if you want to work with us or just find out more about the other shit we do, you can check us out at ministryoffunny.com. You can even reach out to us there via this little message box, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can.
Yeah.
Sweet, man.
Cool.
All
right. So let's jump right into the first big topic.
Jump right into the first big topic.
Probably every, I mean, it affects everyone, right?
Yeah.
You know,
in some way, la, yeah, in some way.
Some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. And it is the recent news that a bill to potentially ban TikTok in the US was passed by the US House of Representatives. I mean, essentially, the new law states that the parent company of TikTok, ByteDance, would have to divest TikTok, because right now ByteDance still owns a part of TikTok.
Yeah.
To divest it means that completely separated or be banned in the US. So, I mean, it's not set in stone yet.
Yeah.
But interesting, like, because it passed the US House of Representatives with a, what vote? It was 352 yes to 65 la. And it's rare that the house actually like can vote so clearly about a certain issue la.
Bipartisan.
So what's going to happen next is it's going to go to the Senate. They are going to scrutinize it. They're going to have a vote, and if they vote for it, it will just go to the table of Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And then he'll decide whether to sign it or not.
Yeah. So still very early stages la.
Very early stages la.
But yeah, there was already like the response from Show, right? Who came out and basically made a very impassioned plea, right? To users, to even ask them to go and contact their senators and everything to oppose this bill, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's quite interesting because I guess CNA and all like showed the whole, like his whole video in its entirety.
Yeah.
And you know, rather than like have analysts talk about it or that, they just like put the video out there.
Yeah.
Fellow Singaporean calling for the rest of the world to help out.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, you say there was like a call for action, right? I mean, literally TikTok, apparently to all the US users, they even put out a US-wide button to reach out to your representatives and senators and all.
Wow.
Yeah, so, so I mean, it's interesting because I'm sure if you've been on TikTok, you've also seen creators already speaking out against it. And one common thing was that so many issues, the house can never agree on anything so fast. I think this one, from the time the bill was drafted to it being passing the house, was 4 months.
4 months, wow.
Yeah, that's why AOC, the quite vocal, pop, very kind of like cool amongst the youth politician in the US, she tweeted about how this reeks of antitrust and like stuff like that. So she voted against it. But interesting, I mean, even Joe Biden himself said that.
So he voted against the bill.
Because it was 352 to 65, right?
Yeah.
But Joe Biden himself has said that if the bill reaches his table, he will sign it.
Yeah.
Which is weird because I think a month or two ago, his administration finally got on TikTok.
Yeah, correct.
In the lead up to the elections. So, I mean, there's so many angles to talk about it. There's so many articles about it. But like, what have you read so far that has stuck out?
I mean, just the general perception that, you know, as bad as it may seem for consumers and all that, I guess one thing to remember is that you're sort of giving, this is like giving China a taste of its own medicine. The US giving China a taste of its own medicine in some ways, where a lot of the American tech companies have faced restrictions operating the apps in China and everything. And so if this retaliation happens, like, is it really that bad? I mean, looking from the American perspective, right? Is it really that terrible thing that they are doing tit for tat to each other? Yeah.
From whose perspective? The country or the people?
The country, the country of America.
I think the difference is this one, there are already 170 million active users in the US. And according to the show's video, 300,000 US jobs will be put at risk.
Yeah.
Like 7 million businesses on TikTok will be put at risk.
Yeah.
And yeah, like just also like the thing that happened before the House was that the House and there's a House Energy and Commerce Committee, the one that grilled Sho a few weeks ago, they were the first one to propose the legislation.
Yeah.
And it came out, the vote there was 50-0.
Wow. Okay.
So everybody wanted to like progress this bill to the House.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's some people saying that, you know, never before have we seen such bipartisan activity in the House, which means when it goes to the Senate,
yeah,
chances are it'll go past lah. And if it goes to Joe Biden, there'll be 6 months for TikTok to either divest or sell. So I mean, it's interesting because like just from reading and all, I think the main critics are that you know, TikTok, even though there's like, I tried to verify, there's no evidence yet that ByteDance, the Chinese company, accesses the data of TikTok for US citizens. There's no evidence yet. But everything you see in the questioning and the hearing is always there's the potential threat. But I think also because the elections are coming and the last elections, Russia has been proven to have influence. Even in the Trump election, Cambridge Analytica, they had their whole league of like what, 50 million users data in the lead up to Trump being elected. So yeah, like, interesting. But you said whether or not it will impact like the Americans or getting the taste of their own, the Chinese getting the taste of their own medicine.
But I mean, I guess one difference is that back then China was already like walled off, right?
Yeah.
They didn't allow the apps to even come in the first place. Whereas this one, really, TikTok already has sort of entered mainstream consciousness, sponsoring Met Gala. Sho is now like, you know,
Zeddy of the internet.
Yeah, and then like, you know, being seen a celebrity around the world already, like, right? So yeah, it's a from a very different place from when Google or Facebook were trying to enter China.
Yeah.
And all that. Yeah, and China has its own like influx of like apps, you know, that service their own market as well. So in some ways they were protecting their own market. But right now, I don't think you can say that, in particular, that TikTok has this has a very clear and present rival, right, in the US that can take over. They can fill the vacuum immediately if it.
You don't think so?
Like who will take over?
You mean as an app?
Yeah, TikTok,
Instagram,
But the numbers that TikTok and the just the reach that TikTok has now compared to Instagram Reels and everything.
Correct. So that's why. Thinking about it, okay, so first of all, it's hard to imagine this actually going through. I don't know how the regular person can fight the system, you know.
Mm.
But I mean, if you're trying to ban the platform, I think that's what Sho said, right? They're going to exercise their legal rights. And in the past, this is not the first time that the US has tried to ban TikTok, right?
Yeah.
It was in 2020 when Donald Trump himself tried to ban TikTok.
Yeah.
And I think he issued an executive order, which is something that just comes directly from the president, right?
Yeah.
And they were trying to get Microsoft and Oracle to buy TikTok.
Yeah.
But then that failed because TikTok kind of sued or countered it legally.
Yeah.
And it was a court that said, no, cannot.
Yeah.
And even last year, Montana, the state in the US, they tried to ban TikTok.
Mm.
But again, TikTok fought back and the court said, no, you cannot ban.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of curious, like, the average user, like, you know how in Singapore, like, if you have any issues, they say, you know, go to your meet the people session with your MP, and bring it up, and then they write a letter for you to all the government agencies and all this kind of thing.
Yeah.
I wonder, like, is there, I mean, for Americans, it's like, I guess the equivalent is like writing to their senator and everything like that, but how much of that actually gets through, you know, versus but the lobbyists and everything, what the rest of them are doing, right?
Mm.
How much, like, talking to your senator actually, like, matters in this case, You think it would make a huge difference?
I think because the elections are happening, right?
Yeah.
Because, okay, so Donald Trump, right, 2020, he wanted to ban TikTok. Now he is questioning the ban.
Yeah.
Right? So can you imagine if, let's say, TikTok does get banned, it is still under Biden's administration.
Yeah.
And let's say the users can't do a fuck all about it and they can't use TikTok anymore. When it goes to voting and the people who can vote,
be angrier.
Yeah, be fucking angry, right?
Yeah.
So that's why when you look at it, you're like, how could they, and 170 million active users, that's like the half of the US. No? Right? So it feels like even if they wanted to do this, maybe it won't pass, but maybe they just want to like, just show China, hey, you don't fuck with us.
Yeah. I think there's the element, maybe it's a game theory thing where Biden knows that it's not actually going to pass, right?
Yeah.
You know, because there's too much at stake, like what you said, like jobs and votes.
Yeah.
But he kind of has to play that strongman role, like, you know, we're going to threaten them to do this and maybe even push them towards selling, right? Not necessarily to a US company, but someone outside, right?
Mm.
Selling such that it's no longer the headquarters isn't actually in China. The ownership is not actually in China, right? It's really got to be majority owned by a non-Chinese country.
Because officially, so TikTok is incorporated in the Cayman Islands, based both in Singapore and LA.
Yeah.
The parent company, Beijing-based ByteDance, is owned by founders and Chinese investors, 20%, other global investors, 60%, and employees, 20%.
Yeah.
And then there was the China Internet Investment Fund, which is the state-owned, part of the state-owned enterprise, purchased a 1% stake in ByteDance's main Chinese entity.
Yeah.
So I know there was a long thing that Show tried to tell Congress last time that the Project Houston or Project Texas. Is where all the US data will be housed there and it'll be totally decoupled from the data in China. Because there's always this thing, right? Oh, the CCP can access the data and all that.
Mm.
So there was all that stuff being explained there. But it still feels like it's an agenda that they are passing. Maybe Joe Biden, right? He's like, I want to make it come all the way to my table and I'm going to be the one to say no. So that when he goes to the voting booths, he has that Trump card. That Trump card against Trump.
Yeah.
Because it just feels, and on one hand, I was thinking, does this even sound possible? Like, has this ever been done before? And it has, no?
I don't know. What app has been banned before?
This one is also an app that confirmed people will know. So, Grindr.
Grindr?
Yeah.
Oh, Grindr's banned.
Yeah. So, Grindr was owned by a Chinese company. And US officials were concerned that the app, which includes a field for users to display their HIV status, could expose sensitive information about Americans to China.
I see.
So investors, a group of investors actually bought Grindr from its Chinese owner, the Beijing Kunlun Tech, for more than $600 million.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so it actually has happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the only thing is about TikTok, I think right now it's valued at $58 billion or something.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, Elon Musk, he managed to raise investors to buy
Twitter
for $42 billion.
Yeah.
Right. So, it doesn't sound impossible.
I mean, all this is not impossible. Right?
Yeah.
I guess the thing is, will a Chinese company, ByteDance, acquiesce to these demands, right?
Maybe they'll acquiesce, but then they'll say other US companies operating in China now, you all fuck off.
Yeah. Definitely retaliation. There will be retaliation.
So then, not only will TikTok users be pissed off, the business owners will be pissed off and their employees, even if they're not on TikTok, the businesses that are operating in China now that might get a blowback. Because last time, remember there was one time the NBA boycott?
Yes, yeah. When the Houston Rockets, GM said something about Hong Kong. Is it the Hong Kong protest? I think he made some comment about the Hong Kong protest.
And China said, okay, fuck you all.
Yeah, and then all the NBA players one by one had to come out and make apologies to China and all, yeah.
Yeah, so there is that sort of thing happening, which, you look at it, how is this going to be passed? And like, if it does get passed, how is it going to impact everything else?
Yeah, don't forget, Met Gala, isn't TikTok like big,
sponsor
to the Met Gala? Show is literally sitting on he's a chairman, right, of the Met Gala now and everything.
Honorary chair.
So it's going to have a lot of ripple effects through society, right? Not only popular culture, but just day to day, everyone, so many people use TikTok now. It's just part of their media diet already. So it's kind of a, don't know, man. But at the same time, apps have become popular, come and gone, you know. Mm. We all remember apps from the past, MySpace and things like that. Like,
Vine. Right?
Vine, yeah. Also, like, pull the plug at, like, somewhere near its prime or so, like, right? And people adjusted, like, moved on or so. Do you think this one let's say it gets passed, like, could it go down that road or so, where people just move on from TikTok?
I mean, I actually think, like, because also when doing research for this, just thinking, well, it almost seems like unfathomable a world without TikTok.
Yeah.
But exactly like what you said, right, we have already seen enough times where a platform either changes their policy, does something fucking stupid, or shuts, and people bitch and whine.
Yeah.
But there'll be something to fill the gap.
Yeah.
It was also like, I mean, with X, right?
Yeah.
You know, the changes is being made. Yeah. They were changing quite drastically and people started moving to Threads and shit. And then when I was thinking, okay, actually TikTok, it's been a polarizing app for quite a while, not just to the US.
Yeah.
Then when you look at the countries and states where TikTok is banned, right?
Mm.
So 2022, Afghanistan, as you might expect, they outlawed TikTok.
Yeah.
And PUBG. Yeah. Australia, the government has banned TikTok from running on government devices.
Mm.
Belgium, same thing, federally funded or owned devices. But it was a 6-month thing.
Yeah.
Canada, government devices.
Mm.
Denmark, government devices. Danish Defense Ministry. And the list goes on. La.
India is all right. India.
I think right now, India, TikTok is still banned.
Mm. Mm.
Nepal, they banned it in November 2023. Yeah. And the articles written about business owners who suffered and all. So it's not crazy. And if you think about it, TikTok has 1.5 billion users.
Yeah.
The US is 170 million.
Mm.
So it's the largest slice of a certain country, but totally, right, is what, like 12% maybe? Less than 10%.
Yeah.
You know, which makes you think, okay, it will be drastic, but in some way, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, it's not. I think, like, sometimes we think that, oh, you know, because we use it, everyone around us uses it, we think that that's how the rest of the world also uses their apps and their phones. But, you know, like, even back in the day when YouTube was up and rising, there were so many alternatives that we heard of, like, right, that other countries are using, like, far-flung places, you know, that were using other kinds of, like, video sharing apps, like Dailymotion, things like that, right? And you always wonder, like, how do people there use these things? But they do, they do. It's like, it's sort of like iPhone versus Android kind of thing. If you're an iPhone user, you know, you naturally would think, oh, everyone around should be using iPhone, right? It's so easy. But there's a lot of people for various reasons or something or another. They use other ecosystems. So yeah, I wouldn't be too wedded to one particular social media app.
And I mean, I think maybe people who started their businesses just on TikTok, it might seem like a new thing that, oh my God, this platform is going to disappear. But fucking over the past 10 years, which in itself is not a super long time, YouTube has had policy changes and the apocalypse. Instagram changed this. Yeah. Facebook changed. This is just the new...
It's just another one.
It's just another change.
Yeah, and we've lived through all these app changes, right? You know?
Yeah.
In terms of the algorithm changes and the way stuff is structured in all these apps. We've gone through the ups and downs of all these, right? Remember Facebook video was a thing at one point. Everyone was uploading. We were uploading our videos to Facebook. Correct.
And Facebook, you know what?
I was like,
fuck this.
Yeah, we built up, 50,000 followers on Facebook.
Yeah.
And it sort of just sits there as a mausoleum of, like, Ministry of Funny from 2016 or something, right?
That's right. Yeah, if you're listening, you can go check us out.
Yeah.
50,000 followers on Facebook.
Yeah, it's like...
Jack shit.
Because, Facebook just did a lot of things that were not creator-centric, right?
And
after that, people just said, you know, fuck this shit.
Increasing reach.
We're not going to play this game anymore, And then... Now, Facebook, I struggle to think about who really uses Facebook other than boomers, right?
That's an untapped audience for Yalla.
Exactly. Exactly what we said earlier, that we think that, nobody uses. But actually, there's a big group of Tunkin Liens and all those, you know, who still use Facebook a lot.
Correct. And I mean, I was curious, after looking at all the countries and states where TikTok use is regulated, either just for government devices or fully for citizens, I was thinking about Singapore. You know, Singapore government offices can only use TikTok on issued devices on a need-to basis.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. And this article was as recent, a year ago. I don't know whether things have changed.
I don't know when, given that how much they use
Lawrence Wong. Everyone is on TikTok, right?
Lawrence Wong has a freaking trailer for even Budget 2024 and all that on TikTok.
Yeah, that's why. Okay, there's literally, currently TikTok is only allowed for use by public officers on a need-to basis, such as for communications officers. Really?
Correct, yeah.
Huh, wait, let me see.
Lawrence Wong needs to play Taylor Swift on guitar. He needs to do those duets.
He needs to walk in slow-mo towards Parliament ahead of the budget. Yeah. Yeah, actually. And okay, another thing also, why... We can't regulate TikTok that much, lah, because who's based in Singapore, bro?
Exactly.
Brother Show.
Yeah.
He's based in Singapore.
He's like, sort of become the face of, you know, the global Singaporean professional, right?
Yeah.
Who can speak English, who's well, you know, English and Chinese, well educated, can stand up to, you know, the US legislative system. But at the same time, also thrive in the Asian economy.
Yeah, be an Asian zaddy.
Yeah.
You know,
he's the poster boy of what our education system can produce.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But interesting enough, there's no recent articles about the use of TikTok on government devices since 2023.
Yeah. I'm sure it's been a bit of a... it's been quite a sensitive discussion in Parliament. I'm not sure you followed recently. Like they were questioning how much was actually spent on social media.
No, but it wasn't.
Yeah, there was a question about can they provide the line item to say how much was actually spent to pay social media influencers to carry government messages and stuff like that, lah.
Oh, is it?
And I think I'm paraphrasing, but I think that their response was that they don't track that figure exactly, but it is a part of their overall comms budget. But people want to know how much influencers are getting paid to say shit. And I'm guessing TikTok influencers also are part of that budget as well.
I mean, you can almost imagine pre-2023, right? Maybe PM Lee was like, guys, this TikTok only for, if you need, you ask, okay? Then the moment he announced Lawrence Wong, then Lawrence was like, bro, I got guitar.
It's time to shine.
It's time to shine. You know, it's a changing. It's from 3G to 4G.
Ong Yi Kang also, big user. Back then, he was making all these
videos and all, right?
Tan Chuan Jin and all, right? Wasn't it? Like, together. They made some together, I think, if I'm not wrong. If I can remember correctly.
I know Tan Chuan Jin reposted the one where people made a boy band of his face with his face or something, right?
Yes. The face swap thingy.
Yeah, face swap. So, yeah. I don't know, man. What is the policy?
Yeah.
The gov.sg has 70+K followers on TikTok. I can't imagine it being limited to just comms officers.
Yeah.
Right. Interesting, huh? No new articles. What is the policy?
I mean, given that TikTok is headquartered in Singapore, right?
Yeah.
Partially headquartered in Singapore, we have a stake in this as well. We're now the Taylor Swift city and also the TikTok city, right?
Yeah. Can you imagine if Taylor Swift is all set to come, but she's like, what? There's limited use on TikTok.
I'm not coming anymore.
Yeah, fuck that shit, man.
Yeah, fuck that. I'm going back to the Philippines.
I need my TikToks.
Yeah.
But apparently Philippines, as of November last year, also announced that they might consider a partial ban on TikTok.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Any rationale for that?
I think it's just the same thing about how TikTok ultimately, one article I think put it best. Is it compared, if you think about your own use of TikTok, right?
Yeah.
Compared to YouTube or Facebook, when I go to YouTube, there are channels that once in a while, I'm like, oh, what is this channel up to? TikTok, rarely, you know.
Rarely, yeah.
Yeah, I just open and I fucking turn off my brain and I scroll. Yeah. So it's almost like the main thing about TikTok is the algorithm that feeds you content that it thinks you would like.
Yeah.
Whereas YouTube, the feed is almost all starting off with the stuff you subscribe. Of course, there's the algorithm.
Yeah.
But you can also see your favorite creators. So the one concern that I've seen people express on behalf of the US and other countries is that if TikTok has that much influence over what people consume, they have very powerful ability to control narratives.
If they wanted.
And as much as they say, you know, it's objective, it's the algorithm that drives it. Even when YouTube says that, we're like, is it really?
Yeah.
You know? Because, you open TikTok, the whole app is meant for you to just one movement, up or down. Up or down.
That's right.
So I think Philippines is like that also.
Yeah, it's way too addictive, really. TikTok.
Yeah, it's way too addictive.
Yeah.
And it's polarizing. I mean, even when we post our own content on TikTok.
Yeah. The TikTok audience is
people are pissed.
Yeah. People are on TikTok to get pissed, man. Like, it's, I feel like people go there to get outraged. It's
or like, go there to exert their moral right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a very, like, moral outrage, right? Every time you go on TikTok.
I mean, which is fun to kind of poke, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But it can get quite overwhelming if you're, let's say you're a big TikTok user.
Yeah.
And these kind of things. So I try my best, like, not to read all those.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's why it's interesting to see how this plays out, because then they talk also about the bigger geopolitical tension between US and China, because this might not be about the app, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a proxy for that growing tension.
Correct. Maybe one of show's big KPIs is this, don't get TikTok banned in the US. Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, yeah. So like your GCB depends on it, bro.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Like, your garden very nice, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Oh,
enjoying your little loft that you have over here and your
Met Gala, how? Oh, yeah. You're spending that on Met Gala, is it? You got to look at the legislation coming out, never, is it? Yeah. Ah, Met Gala.
Because you watch his video, it was a very impassioned plea.
But do you think he looks like he aged a bit in the video? Or is it just the angle?
I think it's just the angle and the feel. Yeah, I also noticed the hair. His hair looked a bit like grayish on the edges.
The sunken cheeks. Maybe using the filter and he didn't know.
Maybe. Or it's just that, you know how, like, remember how Ashton Kutcher, last time when he was doing some apology video
with Mila Kunis.
And then they look like they just woke up.
Yeah.
It's that kind of look to look when you need help, right?
Yeah.
You can't look like, you can't be looking all posh and Met Gala-ish. So that's when you like use certain different angles and you drink more water to make your face look a little bloated and stuff like that.
Yeah. But, and I think he flew to Washington last week and then flying back again or something.
Yep.
Yeah, but maybe this is one KPI.
That's the KPI.
Like, so you're coming, all your other KPIs, fuck off. This is one thing. If we get banned by the US.
We hired you from Singapore for this one. You had one job.
Yeah, you had one job.
You had one job.
You want to live in HDB? You don't want, right? You don't want. You want GCB, right? Then you get us to stay in the US.
Yeah. That's right.
Whoa.
Geopolitical tensions.
Geopolitics. We've also learned, right? Like, now we don't just upload on one platform.
Yeah. I think we don't put your eggs in one basket.
Cannot put your eggs. We've been burned too many times already.
Burned too many times.
Yeah. So anyone there also with business just on TikTok and all.
Yeah, you gotta get off.
Never know.
You gotta go to the boring places. Go to Facebook.
Yeah. You Instagram. Never know. Because you can just switch shit up.
Yeah.
Maybe their choice. Maybe the platform's choice.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. But speaking of geopolitical tensions, there's something else also that Singapore is battling, not say battling, but there's a lot of disagreements about who owns this particular asset, right?
Yeah.
And it's a very key asset to both countries, right? Yeah, and what is this?
It is the key asset of Kaya Toast.
Mm.
Because this was stirred by a recent ranking by Croatia-based food encyclopedia Taste Atlas.
Yeah.
So it's a new ranking for the top 100 sandwiches in the world.
Mm.
And Kaya Toast is ranked at 42.
Mm.
But the more interesting thing is that it's attributed to Singapore as the country of origin.
Yeah.
So once again, we have pissed off our northern neighbors.
Yeah.
Because I think even MGAC posted stuff and they're all complaining about how their national foods, Kaya Toast is not the first one, have been stolen. Stolen by Singapore.
My favorite quote from, apparently that was also quoted in this CNA article from Malaysian Facebook user, Taylor Swift has been stolen. Hainanese chicken rice has been stolen. Bak Kut Teh has been stolen. Now even Kaya Toast has been stolen from us. Wow.
I thought last year, last month, the Malaysian government, they gazetted Bak Kut Teh.
Yeah.
And as one of 10 national foods to preserve Malaysian heritage. And it was apparently proposed by someone who wanted to prevent Singapore from claiming the dish.
Correct, yeah. Chok first, yeah.
So what the fuck does it mean you gazette Bak Kut Teh as a heritage dish? So it means you take charge of its origin.
I think of it like, remember when Mr. Shanmugam came on a podcast and he was talking about Pofma.
Yeah.
And I think you really could tell that it's like, short-term wise, people make a lot of noise, But long term, the history books, what would they reference and say? Mm. They will reference, oh, Malaysia gazetted bak kut teh as a national dish. So the origin of it is in Malaysia. 100 years from now, when they open the time capsules, that's what they'll look at articles like this and say, oh, Malaysia gazetted bak kut teh. So it's already, and Singaporeans didn't protest in big numbers. So yeah, lah, it's established, it's Malaysian bak kut teh.
But I mean, even that whole gazetting thing was an issue because bak kut teh is pork, right?
Correct, yeah.
So they were pushback saying, how can this be a national dish?
Yeah.
So fucking funny, lah.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, but I mean, like, just the list objectively also, like, were you when you heard it was the 42nd best sandwich in the world, what do you think? I don't know how many different types of sandwiches you have tried, lah.
I mean, I think it's, they probably go by familiarity, lah, right? You know, globally, lah, not just in Asia or anything.
Mm.
So it's pretty good that kaya toast is there, because kaya toast is such a simple, it's such a simple sandwich, lah, compared to some of this, like, cheese steaks.
Or banh mi, lah, banh mi, the top one, right?
Banh mi, you know, the Cuban sandwich and everything, so many different things. Kaya toast is literally, like, just coconut jam, butter, on toaster, right? In some countries, that's just like a spread and on toaster, right? Yeah. Nothing special. But the fact that this occupied a specific place on this chart as a best sandwich tells you something. But I mean, actually, I don't travel to Malaysia as often as you do.
Mm.
Is kaya toast a big thing in Malaysia also? In Singapore?
Yeah, I went KL in December, you can get kaya toast. But it's not as big.
But it's not like Singapore, right?
Yeah,
it's like Singapore, we really, it's like, it's tea time, let's have a kaya toast kind of thing, right?
Yeah. I think there is more like nasi lemak, roti prata, stuff like that. As they call roti canai. Kaya toast, it does feel like more of Singapore.
I always felt like kaya toast is like a more of a Singapore thing than Malaysia. Because Malaysia has a lot of other things that they can lay claim to, right?
Like what? What's a Malaysian breakfast that you have tried?
Like nasi lemak or that. I think you can't dispute that,
Nasi kandar.
That you can't dispute that's like Malaysian, right? The identity is Malaysian. The street food in Malaysia also, you know, the, what do you call the stuff that they put on sticks and then you eat it?
Lok-lok.
Exactly. Lok-lok. We don't have that in Singapore, right?
We don't have
that in Singapore. So, yeah, kaya toast is just this little one thing that we can have.
Then the boiled egg, then how? That one also must gazette.
Exactly, the half-boiled egg.
And kopi and teh?
I don't know, certain things maybe having to gazette it is just like, it's, if you ask me which one is more hostile move, like, booking Taylor Swift exclusively or gazetting fucking kaya toast. I think gazetting a food as yours feels more aggressive, right?
Feels more aggressive, but I think people care less.
Correct, people care less.
It's not going to change whether or not they can eat kaya toast.
Mm-hmm.
You invite Taylor Swift, you can say Taylor Swift is yours and all, but if you come and perform in KL, Malaysia, I think Malaysians will be fine.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, like, char kway teow, there's Penang char kway teow, there's Singapore char kway teow.
But then, so do you think, okay, what is the authentically Singapore food confirm without chop?
Without chop, without doubt.
With chop.
With chop, without doubt. Chicken rice? No, actually chicken rice is...
Chicken rice. Singaporean...
I mean...
food.
So there's the thing. I think maybe actually this gazetting thing is not a bad thing. Maybe from now on, we should really start to differentiate between Singapore Hokkien Mee, Malaysia, Malaysia Hokkien Mee, Singapore Char Kway Teow, Penang Char Kway Teow, things like that. Maybe it's time that we really just accept that, you know, that boat has sailed since 1965 and we are carving out distinctly different cultures where you will get a very different taste and different experience eating something like kaya toast in Malaysia versus something like that in Singapore, right?
Mm.
Maybe it's time to just like gazette. Stand up. I don't know, Singapore, just stand up and say, okay, you all want to gazette whatever you want to gazette. This is our Singapore way of doing it.
So,
you know?
So, I mean, chili crab, even on Wikipedia, it has its origins in Malaysia and Singapore.
Yeah.
Fish head curry.
Yeah.
Laksa.
Yeah.
So like, let's say if Malaysia claims chili crab, how will you react?
No, exactly. So, what I'm saying is just from now on, we just gazette, say Singapore chili crab. You know? rather. I mean, we just understand that it has its own distinct flavors. Like, you know, actually in India now, there's a very big fight going over the origins of butter chicken.
Is it?
Yeah. There are a few different restaurants are right there as like age old institutions that are laying claim to inventing butter chicken lah, and they are fighting it out in the courts right now. It's quite a funny thing lah. And like a lot of the street vendors who cook butter chicken, they also have their own recipes and all, but they don't care lah, right? They say butter chicken is butter chicken. That's your recipe. I have my recipe. For one restaurant or one person to claim that they own it, it's kind of petty and kind of stupid, right?
Unless one restaurant is secretly telling people, hey, we created it.
For sure they are. I'm sure these restaurants are putting themselves on like TripAdvisor and all saying that they're the original inventor of butter chicken. All that. So apparently there's some discrepancy between like who's the person who created it, which restaurant he worked for, or his family, whether his family owns the recipe. So there are like three of them fighting for the ownership of butter chicken. Not sure if we'll go to that extent.
So, but then you're saying it's because just now you said it. Maybe we should stand up and say this food is our own. So you're saying within the country don't, but across countries do.
Yeah. Because see, butter chicken, I think they can fight it out in the Indian courts, right? But you know, between kaya toast, between Singapore, Malaysia, who's going to arbitrate between us, right? For this, we can't. There's no right. There's no winner or loser, right? So we just say fuck it, you know, you do your thing, we do our thing, Yeah.
That's something I'm just looking like when I Google like what foods you can only find in Singapore, like eggs Benedict prata. To what level of specificity? Prata maybe okay, roti canai in Malaysia, but eggs Benedict prata, ours.
Yeah.
Don't fuck around. Wantan mee with truffle.
Yeah. The fusion.
Yeah.
The east west meeting.
Soon kueh. Apparently, soon kueh is Teochew.
Yeah.
So Teochew originated from wherever Teochew people come in from China, lah.
Chaozhou. Yeah.
From where?
Chaozhou. Yeah.
So can't call it Singaporean, lah.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. This one's it's an ongoing fight lah between Singapore and Malaysia. We'll never settle it and it'll probably only cause more rifts.
I think all these food encyclopedias, they know that this kind of thing will irk people on.
Yeah.
I guess the nice thing about things like banh mi lah, you know?
Yep. Undeniable, yeah.
The language of the dish, the name of the dish is also in a certain language, right?
Correct, yeah.
Because even last year, there was the 100 best rated breads in the world list. There was also some controversy there because Malaysia's roti canai was number one.
Oh yeah.
But Singapore's roti prata was number 12. What the hell is going on there?
But I feel it's different, right? Roti canai, roti prata.
Is it?
Don't you feel?
No.
I feel like roti prata is more hearty than canai.
But roti prata in Singapore, so depending where you go, you get different levels of thickness and density.
But I would say base level of roti prata is just generally feels more dense and thicker.
Whereas roti canai is thinner, is it?
Yeah, roti canai, they go for the crispiness, I feel.
I don't know.
The hallmark of roti canai.
I wouldn't consider myself a prata expert, even though I love prata.
Yeah.
But, I mean, these kind of things.
Yeah.
But the only thing, the main takeaway from me from this article is because I fucking love sandwiches. I love sandwiches.
Yeah.
And reading all the sandwiches, I don't even know what the hell they are. Like a jibarito. What the hell is that? A bandipan.
Yeah.
But all sound damn good.
Yeah. Oh, well. Maybe that's your bucket list. Try all 41 sandwiches before kaya toast.
I mean, even in Singapore, I don't know where to get like good sandwiches. If anyone's listening and has a recommendation for the baller ass sandwich in Singapore, right? Please let me know.
Yeah, I got a good one for a Vietnamese
banh mi.
I mean, somewhere in the Orchard area, where a lot of Vietnamese people work late hours or so, not going to say what industry, but yeah,
I can. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Around there, yeah, that's very good.
Hospitality, right?
Hospitality ish, entertainment ish. Yeah.
Oh, that's good banh mi.
That's good banh mi. I know one place. Yeah.
Okay, but yeah, man.
Cool. And what is your one show comment?
My one show comment was something from But Then Hall herself, a longtime commenter who provided a one show comment in the last episode about something she kind of reposted from Joe Biden's Instagram account talking about how he believes that no one caught with possessing marijuana should ever be jailed.
Yeah.
Something along those lines. And she just reacted to her being our one-stroke comment, her comment, saying that even she was surprised. And then this was on the episode where we talked about the gender pay gap and all.
Yep.
And then she said, as one of your lady folk followers, I do see the importance of bringing up women's rights and highlighting gender issues, as I'm only able to benefit from a fair education and level footing in my company because of the sister suffragette movements that came before me. While gender equality may be present in Singapore, still very lacking in other parts of the world. And she also clarified that when ladies meet up, they don't just talk about shopping and makeup. LOL. Mm-hmm. I think that LOL probably is very layered LOL.
Yeah.
It could be one of our gender LOL. We talk about plenty of other topics too. So my apologies.
Yeah.
Her thoughts about house husbands, male, female bosses, and well thought comment. So thanks for your comment, but then all.
Yeah.
Cool. What's about yous?
It's just my one short comments from YouTube. Actually, someone who, Yuvan Mohan 2009, who just recently said that our Trishaw podcast, talking about Trishaw podcast, the Alibaba 500, epic, just epic. I recall my friend and I using a Trishaw in primary school, brought back memories. Great work, guys. Keep it up. Trishaw in primary school, like what? That must have been quite a while back, right? Like, were Trishaws like still used regularly in the 80s to cut people around?
I think so.
It was?
Why would it not be?
I don't recall using trishaw as a mode of transport, like a legit mode of transport to get from place to place.
I don't know. I mean, 80s, how old were you, man?
Yeah, I was a kid.
I have no recollection of that.
Yeah. I don't recall ever using
trishaw. I won't be surprised, no.
Really?
I won't be surprised if it was actually going around.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
But interesting, but thanks for letting us know that this brought back memories for you. Nice to hear that you know, it really triggered memories for someone on Yellow Butt.
Hell yeah, man.
But yeah, and what is your one shook thing?
My one shook thing is this comedian that I came across in the US recently called Akash Singh.
Mm.
So he's a American-born Indian comedian.
Okay.
Has kind of like Aziz Ansari vibes, but more extreme, like, in a sense, like, a lot of his videos are crowd work.
Crowd work.
Yeah, as a comedian, you know, interacting with the crowd.
Okay.
And I mean, he focuses a lot on the Indian diaspora.
Okay.
And it's just funny to watch, because I think he's quite funny. Like, he would just say someone in the crowd, oh, you know, what do you do, sir? And then he say, oh, I manage a hotel. He's like, I know you're Guju, which is Gujarati.
Mm.
And he said, do your parents own a hotel? He's like, yeah. Then he just guess based on names and it's quite funny. But I don't think it's just for Indian people to enjoy.
Okay.
I think his delivery as a comic and all is quite good.
So why did this suddenly come up for you?
I think I saw him on a podcast with Andrew Schultz.
Okay.
So he sometimes co-hosts with them. Okay. Then I was, hey, this guy's stand-up comedian. Let me see his comedy. Then I went, I was actually quite interesting.
So he's pretty popular already.
A million followers on YouTube and all. So funny. Funny guy.
Got it.
Yeah. So I enjoy it. So that's my one short thing. He's on TikTok, social media and stuff like that.
Got it.
Everywhere. Okay. What about you, man?
Mine is from a basketball YouTube channel, JX. I think it's meant to be Jimmy High Roller, but he spells it JXMY High Roller. It's a video called We Done With the 90s. And I found it quite interesting because he... Basically, you know, there's always that debates, those debates about are players today better than those in the 90s or you know, you like people our age, we watch Michael Jordan and we say, oh, the 90s basketball, they were so much better than today and tougher and everything.
Yeah.
So there's been a lot of, apparently recently people have been pulling up clips of basketball players from the 90s. And showing how terrible they were in terms of like their shooting, or they're just one-handed, they can't do it. They can't jump as high, or they just do very low basketball IQ stuff. And just saying that these guys were like, you know, they were part-timers. They're not even like real professional basketball players compared to the skilled players we see today, right? And so, yeah, it was quite interesting, this video, because he actually brought on, I mean, he actually explains certain things about the 90s level of basketball versus and the rule changes that have happened since the 90s that show that you really, ultimately, you really cannot compare, right? The way, the kinds of things that, the kinds of fouls that were called in the 90s versus what the fouls are called now.
Mm.
And he brought something that I didn't even realize that in basketball, you know, traveling when you actually carry the ball, right? That means even if you're dribbling one hand, if your hand goes 90 degrees, in the 90s, that would have been called a travel already.
What was it?
That would have been called carrying the ball. Whereas nowadays, you see the players, they bounce here, step back, side and everything. You know, Steph Curry, like he moves like 3 meters with one dribble, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Because their hands are more allowed to be at an angle, like a 90 degree angle to the ball much more than before. And it's called much less often. So based on that, of course you can do a lot crazier moves and everything. Whereas back then, it's a lot stricter, even your hand just coming to the side of the ball is considered carrying and stuff like that already.
Oh, shit.
So he brings up these things and other things hand checking, which is you can't have use your hand to, push someone else's hand and things like that in basketball. They make it a very different game. It's a different sport almost entirely.
Yeah.
Where defense was a skill that, that took a lot more discipline that compared to today, right?
Mm.
So, yeah, I thought it was an interesting, because he uses, stats and real, analysis like this to argue about which era is better and all.
I guess that's the thing about a sport like basketball that evolves so much. Like, the nice thing about football is that not much changes, right?
Yeah, VAR, we think. But you think, VAR, but also
apart
like...
from that, the rules itself?
I mean, but you think about technology of the shoes or the ball.
Yeah, but
ball.
Technology all different. Like, the rules, right?
The rules, they stay the same. That's actually, I'm more... In some ways that football provides this continuity.
Yeah.
In our lives compared to a lot of other sports.
And then it makes the whole, the greatest of all time debate more fun also.
Yeah, more fun.
Because I remember I just happened to be listening to a podcast and they were talking about Larry Bird. Like, Larry Bird was apparently famous for drinking beers before and after the game.
And he was apparently he was really rough when he played. Yeah.
And he trash talked a lot, right?
Yeah, trash talked.
And then they were saying now LeBron James sleep in a hyperbaric chamber and shit like that, right?
Yeah.
So it's just interesting. Back then, I mean, no doubt talent and all, but were they physical specimens? You don't know. LeBron James, he's a monster, right?
Now they're all
athletes.
Engineered. To be athletes. Back then was some people were part-time players and stuff like that. That's the crazy thing. So I probably would love to see this done for other sports like tennis even boxing or whatever, how different techniques and all that. You have to evolve your techniques with the times as well.
But cool.
Cool.
Cool, man. Awesome. That's the end of the podcast. Remember, if you enjoyed this, please help share it with one other person.
Yeah.
And
if you want to work with us, please check out ministryoffunny.com.
Hell yeah, man. Thanks for listening, everybody.